Going back over the last two, maybe three decades, we've talked to Jody Grant in many different levels. Fort Worth banker extraordinaire, chief financial officer at EDS, the chairman and founder of Texas Capital Bank, chairman of Clyde Warren Park, Woodall Rogers Park Foundation. But today we also talk to him as Jody Grant, survivor of COVID-19. And he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
David, wonderful to be here.
You are the first person I've ever talked to, maybe not the last, who's had COVID-19 and is here to talk about it. How was it?
Well, the worst part about it was learning that I had it. Not only did I have it, but, it's highly contagious. And when two people live under the same roof, there's a high probability that the other party is going to catch it as well. And my wife did. So we both sequestered here at home together, and we worked our way through it. But honestly, when you look at the mortality rate and all of a sudden you're told you got it, and then you just take a deep gulp and say, wow, this could be either favorable or unfavorable. Unfavorable isn't good.
And you travel a lot, I know, to both coasts, but you got it here, didn't you, in Dallas?
Well, I did, but I got it from somebody who had been on an airplane. And he was on an airplane, and then we were in a conference room together a couple of days later. And interestingly, I tried to call him, and I emailed him, and he went silent on me. And a week after we were in that conference room together, he called me and said, I'm in the hospital. So I immediately got tested and found out I was positive, and then my wife was tested and she was positive. But I was having symptoms before I got that call, so I knew something was going on. And I think the telltale sign in our case was we both ran a fever, but we had what I would call mild cases.
Well,
so we never went to the hospital. We never went to the emergency room. We just stayed at home and got over it.
I'm glad you got over it, and I'm glad to hear your voice. You sound good and strong. Look like you're feeling good. So tell me, I know you are removed from Texas Capital Bank, but it's still your baby. You headed up the group that founded that, and I was surprised when I got the news earlier this year they were going to have a merger of equals with Independent Bank, and that I was probably more surprised when the deal fell apart last week. Any thoughts?
Well, the merger, when it was announced, was a surprise to me. You're right. I'm a step removed from it. I still am a shareholder and have a great interest in it. But, I had no advanced knowledge that was coming. I knew that there was a challenge in terms of the model, and that, we never had a big source of retail funding. And in the banking world, particularly the regulators view that as important. We were always well-funded, but, it could have been broader-based. And that was the principal motivation for the merger. And, when you something like that happens, you get on board, and I was on board with it and excited about it. And then COVID-19 came along, it changed the scenery a lot. And of course the oil markets changed it a lot as
changed
well,
about so. Everything. And that's what I was going to say, because one of the intriguing things about this combination was that it was just about 95% Texas centric, and that you if you were going to be centered someplace, there wasn't a stronger, better place to be centered. And now, as we looked at what happened to energy prices and the slowdown everywhere, maybe that wasn't the selling point that it was back then.
No, Texas has been through these cycles many times, and even, in the nascent years of the oil business back in the early 1900s, we were a cotton state, and we had a big bust in cotton, and banks failed. In those days, they were rural banks primarily, and they were financing agriculture. And then energy became the big commodity, and we went through cycle after cycle in the energy arena. And today, of course, energy is less important to the state as a percentage, but it's still important. And, when energy gets a cold, everybody coughs. And that happened this time around. And of course, there are other forces at play, wind and solar and Tesla and electric cars, that the world is changing. I don't think it's going to change overnight, and we're going to need oil, we're going to need gas, and combustible engines aren't going out of style completely. So, Texas Capital had 5% of its portfolio in energy. Interestingly, if you go back into the 80s, in my previous banking life, the banks had up to 20% of their loan portfolio in energy. And so, in the 1980s, late 80s, when we had what I would call the real depression in Texas, we lost a third of our banks from failure, and the savings industry, savings and loans, disappeared completely. So we've seen this rodeo before, and we will work our way through it, and we'll recover from both COVID and the oil business.
Yeah, I mean, at least the only good thing about living through something like that is there seems to be a blueprint. It seems like that's what the Fed used. They learned from 2008, 2009, and the way to sort of take on COVID-19 and the credit crunch that was there.
We do learn if we're smart. In the 80s, we lost 500 banks in Texas. In the Great Recession, we lost 5. So we learned a lot in the 80s, and we sailed through the 2009-2011 recession.
Well, look, we're talking about money. One of your favorite topics is Clyde Warren Park, and among your many successes, what are your greatest? And the one you share with Sheila, your wife, is the success of Clyde Warren Park. And the last time we talked, we were talking about raising money for an extension of Clyde Warren Park. Is that still on?
That is still on. Now, the COVID-19 crisis and oil has played a big part in causing the outlook to be a bit more jaded than it was. Oil is really important in the state of Texas. If you look at the big fortunes that have been made and a lot of the foundations, they were rooted in these oil, fortunes made by oil barons. And, they're still important, and a lot of them still have big oil and gas reserves and income from those reserves. And so, a lot of the foundations are not as strong as they were. And in addition to that, you've got real estate, and real estate's just critically important in Texas, and it's important around the park in that, there are 23 undeveloped acres around Clyde Warren Park, and that's all toward the west end. And we rely upon the developers of that property to help fund us. And of course, they've taken a huge, huge blow. And I think the development of that property has been pushed back, maybe even by years. Time will tell.
And of course, the ironic thing is Clyde Warren Park has been a lot to the public, but my gosh, as an additive to real estate values surrounding Clyde Warren Park, it must be geometric.
Most people don't realize the impact it's had, David, but we have what's called a public improvement district around the park, which allows us to assess landowners and property owners for support. And, some people call it taxes. We call it assessments. But in any event, we get about $1,200,000 a year, and it's going up every year. But where I was going with this is that when in 2013, if you look at the city tax rolls, the value of all the properties within that property improvement district was $2.5 billion. In 2019, it was over $5 billion. And so we've created, not us alone, but $2.5 billion has been created there. And I think the park's been a principal catalyst for that. Yeah. And the tax revenue off that is hugely important based upon, again, the tax rolls and tax collections. The city and other entities received $49.7 million last year. And that's yearly income coming into the city coffers. And the city gets about half of it. The rest of it goes to DISD, hospital districts, and a few other participants. But it's been hugely important.
And now it looks like it's going to take a hit for a while anyway.
Well, it could. The tax rates, if if they remain the same, they're still going to get the same revenue off that, except for those who can't pay. And that happens every year, but, you know, it's very, very modest. And most of the property owners are, you know, they're well healed. So I'm not worried about that. And we are proceeding with our expansion. We're going to build the deck first. We're going to take it in two phases, and then we're going to build the improvements on top of the deck. So we're looking at the initial funding for the deck, and we have that basically in place. We're in discussions with a major donor, and we hope that's going to come through for us, and that will enable us to put everybody back to work and just surge forward. And we should have that signed, sealed, and delivered within the next couple of weeks.
Ooh, that's a good reason to check back.
Yeah, so we're very enthusiastic about it. And, you know, the park's doing extraordinarily well. Obviously, it's affected by COVID-19. The food trucks, we had to shut down our food truck business for a couple of months, and now they're back in place. We're opening the park to the public again, but emphasizing social distancing, and we hope people wear masks. We can't force them to, obviously, but people are being very respectful, I think, of their responsibility.
The advantage is, I guess you don't have to. I mean, if you survive COVID-19 and you've got all the antibodies or whatever in you, you can probably greet people like the French used to with a kiss on each cheek.
Well, I could, but not everybody knows I've had COVID-19, so I don't want people throwing stones at me, you know, because I don't have a mask on.
Well, they do now, and you were kind enough to bring it home and give it to your lovely wife, Sheila, which probably means a big anniversary present is coming up from you.
Yeah, I owe her big time.
Jody Grant, is chairman of the Woodall Rogers Park Foundation, has done everything good in this area for a long time. It's good to spend some time with you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure.
Thanks. That's Jody Grant. For more of our conversation with him, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.